Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Science, the show that breaks down the science of television and movies with a comedian and a scientist. Today we're discussing The Shallows, so I'll ask about shark attacks, fire coral, and how to properly fix a seagull's dislocated shoulder. But first, a short word from our sponsor.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The good, the bad, and the science. Television, movies, comedians, and scientists. The good, the bad, and the science.
Hi everyone, I'm your host Ethan Edinburgh, and I've got two absolutely wonderful guests joining me today. Our first guest is an actress, improviser, and host of the podcast Everything is Rent. Welcome to the show, Sarah Claspel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, how's it going, Sarah?
It's going great, especially after seeing this fantastic movie.
Yeah,
even absolutely. Better.
One for the ages. Sarah, we have not had you on the show before, but I've wanted you for a long time. We used to go to the same gym and get super ripped together.
So ripped now.
Yeah, just crazy off the charts level ripped.
We're lifting cars. we're climbing buildings, saving people.
Yeah, we had to open up our own gym and make our own program because it wasn't enough for us. So now we have like basically superhero level strength. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Join our gym. It's called Get Too Ripped.
Unnecessarily ripped. With Sarah and Ethan. Listen, it's truly great having you on. I mean, the question I wanted to pose to you first is if you've ever been surfing.
I have.
Okay.
I'm not great at it, but I've taken a lesson and then, you know, gotten on just those surfboards that are just the biggest thing ever. That's basically a very small boat that anybody can ride.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay, so maybe this movie struck a nerve with you because I don't have surfing experience. But I thought, if I had, maybe this would hit closer to home. It seems like a surfer's worst nightmare.
Truly. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever go surfing again after seeing this movie.
Well, hopefully our next guest will be able to entice you because I assume sharks don't hate surfers this much.
I mean, I can't wait to find out. I have a lot of questions about sharks' intent.
Okay, perfect. So our second guest has been on the show before. She is a senior research technician at the Monterey Bay Research Institute. Welcome back to the show, Shannon Johnson.
Hi, thank you so much for having me again.
Absolutely, great to talk to you, Shannon. Is the Monterey Bay Aquarium open again?
Yes, they finally opened again. I'm so excited. I can't wait to go back. I think they're pretty busy. They're still, I think, limiting capacity.
Cool.
But and yeah, I think you make reservations ahead of time. But yes, finally we get to go back in there.
Excellent. Great. Okay, that's very exciting. Sarah, have you been to that aquarium, Monterey Bay?
You know, actually, I've been a bunch because my dad and stepmom are volunteers.
Oh,
they're volunteer scuba divers. So they will go in and like clean the tanks. And my stepmom like will wear a suit that has like a microphone in it while she's like doing the dive in the kelp area.
Oh my God!
So that she can like so that they can do shows. And that there's someone outside like talking to little kids and little kids can ask questions and she'll like bring up feed the fish and then bring up a starfish. So I am as soon as you said Monterey Bay, I was like, Shannon,
wow.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Cool. OK, I feel like I have two experts on the show now. This is great.
Yeah, that's right. I am an expert.
I mean, I assume just from your parents regaling you with stories, you're going to know way more than I do. But then
certainly.
That's a very low bar.
My expertise is only about how cute everything is. So Shannon probably definitely knows more than I do about some things, but I can definitely let you know how cute each fish, otter, perfect, shark is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, as we discuss the creatures in this movie and the people, you can give us like a 1 out of 10 cuteness rating. That would be great.
Yes. And I will.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the sea otters, too. That's kind of what blew me away the most, I think, about the aquarium up there. If you guys have not been to Monterey Bay, it's worth it for the sea otters alone, I got to say. I was, blown away. I could not leave them.
They're so cute. So friendly. Yeah.
They're pretty cute.
Are we talking 9 out of 10?
I'm going to say the otters, 11.
Wow.
They're off the charts.
They're almost as cute as we are ripped.
Yes, almost. Nothing could come that close, but, you know,
right,
this is as close.
Okay, so Shannon, do you surf?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Okay, here we go. Have you ever been surfing alone?
Yeah, lots of times.
Wow.
Although that's like a rare gift these days. I think everybody surfs now during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, that seems like a very socially distant activity.
Yeah, for sure. And like everybody's working from home, aka surfing. And so all of Silicon Valley moved to Santa Cruz so that they could work from home. And
surf from home.
Yeah. So it's not lonely out there. So the probability is good that you're safe.
Got you. Okay. So this didn't freak you out at all. This didn't make you, I don't know, like reconsider.
No. No, actually where our institute is located is in Moss Landing, California. And that's a more precarious place to surf just because like right now we have a really high abundance of white sharks from like New Brighton Beach, which is just off Capitola, all the way to Moss Landing. Like there's helicopter pilots that one of them is a friend of mine. And he's like, I would not go in the water anywhere from New Brighton to Moss because he sees white sharks all the time. And the scientists think that their populations have increased and that the Monterey Bay is such a healthy ecosystem that we have this like high concentration of animals living here as opposed to other parts of the ocean. So there are more sharks and they're more visible because of drones and stuff, right? Oh, and helicopters flying around.
Right.
So now we see them. So we used to have like this awesome junior guards program down here for the state parks. And the kids would jump off the pier and swim around the pier at Sea Cliff. And they don't do that anymore because there's so many white sharks. And we've actually gone on a boat and seen the white sharks. And they come right up to the boat. Whoa. And but the minute you get in the water, they swim away. And they're like, ooh. Uh-huh. Leave me alone.
So yeah, they're much more scaredy cats than the movies.
Yeah, they're shy. Mm. Yeah, they're definitely. This poor shark was super mad.
Oh yeah, this poor shark was hangry.
Oh yeah, he
super
was
super hangry.
Vengeful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he went above and beyond to like be a dick. I mean, he had plenty of food and just continued to bother people.
Right. And just like when he ate that poor guy in half and then just spit him back out. Right. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not even trying to eat the people. He's just trying to murder them and then be like, gotcha.
Yeah. It's like right? A kid playing with his food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean. Just mean.
Yeah. This shark was a jerk. No offense to the to the real life shark in this movie, who is obviously real.
Oh, super real.
Super real. And awesome. I mean, I got to say, the fact that they trained a real shark to do all that stuff is really cool.
Really incredible.
It was amazing.
Great actor that shark was, for sure.
Yeah. Totally. Whatever his real name is. So, listen, before we dive into the shark's mouth, I was doing some, let's just say, I guess, silly or unnecessary research, as I often do. I do, like, a very minimal amount of research, and then there's always a good percentage of that has really nothing to do with anything, but I do it anyways. And I saw that you published a paper entitled An Inordinate Fondness for Osedax. So can you tell me and our listeners what Osedax is and what this paper is about?
Okay. So Osedax are bone-eating worms. And so when in this movie, when I saw the dead whale, I was like, great, awesome. Like, maybe don't swim to that because things like to eat dead whales.
I did think that was strange, by the way, that she saw that and swam towards it.
And really, there is no worse smell than a dead rotting whale. Like, literally.
Oh, no.
I mean, I have a pretty strong stomach, and we have sunk many whales with chainsaws and things to, like, cut them up and ventilate them. I guess I should start at the beginning of the story. Okay.
Wow.
So back in 2003, right when I started working at Ambari, my lab discovered a whale carcass in 3,000 meters of water. And they were out looking for these big deep-sea clams, and instead they found the whale carcass. And covering the whale carcass was this, like, shaggy red carpet of worms. And they knew they were worms. Right? Super cool.
Wow.
So when everybody thinks of worms, I've spent my whole career trying to convince people that worms are actually really cool. So when people think of worms, they think of, like, earthworms, right? But these guys are, like, they have this beautiful red plume, and they're really pretty and picturesque. But they're super weird because they have, like, this root system that goes down into the whale bones, which is why we name them bone eating for off the dacks. And then, so they're almost like a plant. And then they have a symbiotic bacteria that breaks down the nutrients that are in the bones, and then the bacteria feed the worms. But that's not the weirdest thing about these worms. They're all female. All the big ones are female. And so we couldn't find the males for a long, long time. We finally found them. Actually, we, not me, the worm taxonomist guy. I'm just a geneticist. The worm taxonomist guy finally found the males in the tubes of the females. So all the females have harems of dwarf males. The older and the bigger you are, the more males you have. And the males aren't parasites or anything. They just are sperm donors. And then they use up their resources that they got from their eggs, and then they just kind of go away.
Wait, so, it's so like the males, power story. They live inside the females?
In the tubes. So the tube, they kind of have, when we first found these worms, we called them green snot worms because their root system is kind of green. But they're totally beautiful, I swear.
It's hard to believe you.
Their roots, right?
Beautiful snot worms.
Gorgeous snot on this worm.
Well, actually, there's many, many species. I think we're up over 30 species now. And there, one was called snot flower or mucophlorus because it really is pretty.
Sounds like a 1 out of 10 on the cuteness scale. Sorry.
I mean, I'll like, come up and we'll fund a trip. This podcast will fund my trip up to Monterey and I'll check it out so that I can rate accurately.
Okay, good.
Well, you know what? The aquarium is starting a deep sea exhibit in the next couple of years, and they're going to put ophidax on display, which is super cool.
Wow.
So you will see them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a whole new deep sea exhibit that's going to be really incredible that they're working on right now.
Awesome.
But yeah, so anyways, they have like this snotty gelatinous tube. And so that's where we got the snot worm idea from. And then the males actually live in that tube along the oviduct of the females.
Wild.
So that they can fertilize their eggs.
Wowzers.
So, yeah, I even have a species named after my son.
Really?
That might ruin his life or enhance his life in some way someday.
That's so cool.
Yeah, okay, so I'll do this as a tease. When we come back from commercial, we're going to find out what weird snot worm is named after Shannon's son.
Is over. Here we go back to the show about science.
Okay, we're back, and everybody's dying to know what weird, gross male inside of a female tube snot worm, zombie worm, I may say, if they're eating bones and stuff, is named after your son.
Well, that would be Ophidax reiteri.
Of course.
And I told you, this might get him a date someday, but he might not be happy about that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Sarah can answer that more accurately, but I would be pretty impressed if somebody said that there's a worm named after them. I think that's cool.
I mean, I don't think anything named after me. No one is like, I've got to name something after Sarah. Like,
right.
Name a taco after me or something.
Yeah, at the very least.
A worm? That's cool. The more you talk about worms, the more that I'm they're, you know what? I haven't seen them, but the more their cuteness score is going up. I'm interested. This is intriguing.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. That makes me happy.
Convincing somebody to get into worms here.
Yay.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is intriguing to me. So did you discover a new species of worm?
Yeah, so I got the cool job of actually discovering most all the species of worms because I did the sequencing, which is like the easy way of discovering new species. I took a little fragment of their DNA and identified it and was able to say, oh, this one's different from this one. So we're up, I think we're up to like 28 species
wow.
of different orthodox worms. And the reason why we have so many species, and that's mostly locally in the Monterey Bay area, but some from Oregon and some from Southern California, is that we sunk a lot of different whales at different depths. And so you can imagine what it entails to sink a whale. You got to cut them open and get all the gas out, or else they float like a cork. So it's messy, but it's super fun, and you definitely become a mouth breather.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, you're sort of like a whale embalmer.
Yeah. So we cut them open, dig them out, and then a boat ties a big rope to their fluke and then drags them offshore, weights them with big recycled railroad wheels, and sinks them. And then we go to different depths. So we sunk them from 300 meters all the way down to about 2,000 meters.
Oh, my Lord. How many whales have you carved out?
I think five.
Okay.
Five or six. I think one was a blue whale, and I didn't have to carve that one. Thank goodness. It was a big whale.
Wow.
So it sounds like you're not psyched to do it. Like, do they announce, like, hey, there's a whale. We got to go carve it out. Let's draw straws? Or how does that work?
Yeah. So I would get these, like, you know, you like go to work, you've got your coffee, you think you're going to do this thing today, and then the phone rings, and somebody calls you, and you're like, oh, there's a dead whale on the... in Pajaro Dunes or whatever, and you're like, oh, okay. So you get your hip waders and clothes you never want to wear again.
You're like, I thought I was going to have a non-smelly day, but
right.
Turns out.
Right.
Turns out smelliest day ever.
Exactly. And then, like, I used to keep this supply of, like, shovels and machetes and chainsaw and, you know, all these different tools so that we could cut open the well.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it was and you know, we had a little crew that would help us, and people were super stoked to help. They were like, I mean, this is like a pretty fun day except for the smell, because you get to go down and hang out on the beach all day and cut open whale and dig things, and
my God.
Definitely mixes up the week.
Yeah, it mix up your life.
Yeah,
I mean, based on what I know from The Shallows. Are you afraid at all to go near the whale? Like, is there more of a risk that you're... Because she says at one point, there's a quote where she says, what was it? Like, that's the problem. She says, that's the problem. I swam into his feeding ground.
Yeah.
So
For sure. I mean, that's what they want to eat, right? Like, people probably taste terrible. So, yeah, of course. And so that's actually kind of what got our program a little bit cut off, besides the fact that we had sunk a lot of whales and we were kind of like reaching saturation for answering our questions, was that we would have a guy paddle in. We have this line called Spectra. It's super, super strong, but light. And so he would pile a bunch of Spectra onto a longboard and then paddle it in to be able to tie it to the whale. But also, like, the whale stink was definitely in the water. And he requested a new wetsuit because his wetsuit kind of got ruined.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were like, because he was like, he's actually been bitten by a shark before. He's the one person I know who's actually been bitten by a shark.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in the 90s, right? And so he was like, I kind of want a new wetsuit. Can you guys buy me a new wetsuit? And Ambari was like, this is a safety issue. We're done. So that kind of ended it. But we got a lot of research out of it. And now the Monterey Bay Aquarium, since they're going to put the worms on display, have been have all their permits to sink more whales so that we can continue this work, which is pretty fun.
Crazy. Okay. Well, leaving this section appropriately, shout out to Osadax. What was it? Riley something? Is your son's name
Ryder? Ryder.
Ryder Rye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Ryder. Congrats, man. Let us know. Write in if you get a hot date because of this fact.
Hopefully not yet. He's 11.
Oh, geez. All right. I should have thought about that. Write in a decade.
Yes. Ethan will still be accepting emails.
Oh, yeah.
Letters about this. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about this movie. The Shallows. I had not heard about this movie until watching it. Shannon, had you seen this before?
I had not.
Oh, okay. So we're all new to The Shallows. Is that correct to say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So on one hand, I very much enjoyed it. It did not go the way that I thought it would. It was very unique in that it's kind of all situated on this one beach. We don't really leave anywhere. But I got to say, I want to know, maybe Sarah, you can help me out with this. I feel like if the movie just started out with her stranded on the rock, I would have preferred it, because the intro was just like, she has such great cell service on this secret Mexican beach.
She really does.
She's
amazing.
Like,
amazing. I know.
FaceTiming with her family, and like, I can barely FaceTime next to my router. And she,
seriously, I can't make a phone call from my house, but
yeah, but she's on this secluded beach, and then there's like,
it's also this weird exposition that no one will tell her the name of the beach. It's
like, yeah,
why? No, we're not gonna explain why. Okay, fine.
And how did she say to bring me there? And then also, like, we hear about her friend several times, which has nothing to do with anything, and she keeps talking about her friend who's like hungover back at the hotel, and she's like stunned that her friend's not meeting her at the beach. It's like, how would she even know where to go? You don't know the name of the beach.
Yeah.
I was so frustrated with that. And then
the guy that's driving her there doesn't speak great English. She doesn't speak great Spanish. So yeah, it's like, how do we communicate this?
I don't know.
I don't know how we got here.
I don't know. And then, yeah, he like doesn't charge her. And like, who does he work for? Like, was he just driving along and she, like, how did that happen? How did they meet? And he asks her how she's going to leave. And she says Uber. And I honestly don't know if she's joking or not.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. He's like, he said something like, what's an Uber? And she's like, ha ha ha. And that was it.
Right. Like, she legit does not have a plan to go home. And he's like, okay, lady, I guess, figure it out.
Right?
So confusing to me. And then there's like, I think I counted 17,000 slow motion shots of her like preparing to surf, getting undressed, getting dressed in the wetsuit, swimming out. Like, it was so, it felt like forever.
Oh yeah, lots of, listen, you gotta let the audience know that she's a beautiful woman. Right. And the best way to do that is like show her getting her wetsuit on, slow-mo, so that you can make sure that she's beautiful.
Yeah,
like, and we get it.
And then also make it so like such a long collage, because you know, some people might have gone to the bathroom during this time, or you know, they might want to go get some popcorn, so you have to make it at least like 15-20 minutes so that they can get back and get, oh okay, I see what's going on here, I'm in.
Yeah.
But anyway, so first question I had, and this might be a really stupid one, but she starts swimming under these huge waves and is totally calm and cool about it. And I was just, I don't know, I guess curious from a non-surfing standpoint, like, is that the move? And like, how hard is that? Like, she was doing it with such ease and grace.
That's a pretty, speaking as someone who is a very non-expert surfer, that's the move you do. If there's like a huge wave coming and you don't want to catch it, you can dive under. Shannon, right?
Yeah, totally. Cool. That's normal, except for that was definitely not her diving.
No.
Because when you would see her paddling, you're like, ooh, is this your first time? And then... But, like, who knew Serena Vander Woodson was such a ripping surfer?
Yeah, I mean, I assumed it wasn't her doing the surfing, but I thought at least she'd be the diving under the waves person. But I guess
No, that it's actually pretty hard to duck dive that well under those, especially in the whitewash like she was doing. So
okay,
I'm pretty sure that wasn't her.
Great. Okay, that makes me feel less foolish because I was watching it being like, that looks pretty tough. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not that easy.
Okay. I will say I normally, I felt confident because I normally do it with like a boogie board or something. And the waves I catch are much smaller. So,
yeah.
Right.
Well, just the waves at that beach were pretty remarkable. Like, first, it's like flat calm. And then she's paddling out and then there's huge sets.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But it like fluctuates from like pumping wave to like this beautiful bay of nothing.
Yeah, I had a feeling there was like a bunch of weird inconsistencies, but I'm also not an ocean expert, so I didn't want to like jump to conclusions there, but that is making me feel better that like even just the whale carcass we were talking about before, like they don't notice that. Like, did that just float up at that time? It seems like it's been there for a bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was confusing.
Yeah, they don't move fast. They float. It would be sitting there for a long time, and yeah, it wouldn't be like the guys were surfing, and they would have been like surfing on top of that thing.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like, and nobody complains about the smell. Get real.
They reek.
The craziest part of the whale thing was, there's only one shot of her like smelling the whale and being like, ugh. Just yeah. One shot. And I'm like, that yeah. has to be the worst. Like, you're sitting on a dead animal carcass that is the hugest animal you've ever seen.
Yeah.
This has got to be so smelly.
Yeah.
And she's...
I promise it is.
Yeah,
my trash
like
smells worse than she was reacting.
Maybe she just has a terrible sense of smell. Let's give her that.
Good for her in this circumstance.
Good for her. Okay, so they discuss, precursor, basically, like they discuss nasty fire coral. I wrote down that quote. So can you tell me about fire coral a little bit? Is it really that nasty?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely stings you and it hurts a lot and keeps hurting. One of my friends, we were in Morea, and we developed the rule of no touchy after her, because in the same trip she touched a urchin and some fire coral.
Ooh.
And the fire coral kept hurting for a very long time. So it's definitely a thing, although when she's like kicking all the coral, and I loved all the, she was very dramatic. So that's a thing, but I didn't, she was on the rock.
Why do you say that she's dramatic? Like, she was...
Well, when she was, like, sewing her own leg up with her earring.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... I think I'm thinking more of that. But
This,
when she fell and she, like, got drug along the reef, you don't usually, like, tumble down along the bottom unless you're really in a big wave, right? And you're really getting held down.
Mm-hmm.
So... that was in like the screaming underwater. And I was also very impressed with her incredibly long breath holding capabilities. She must
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like minutes.
And she like, there was a little bit of her being like, oh no, I've been bit by a shark and I have all these injuries. It hurts to move. But then she could swim fairly mm-hmm. well.
Right? Really fast.
Really fast.
Yeah.
With earrings stabbed into her legs.
So,
like, ouch.
I wanted to ask about that moment as well. I'm glad you brought it up because, yeah, she has this huge injury and she, like, stitches it up with, like, a necklace and her earring, it looks like. And, I mean, I thought it would be even more of a reaction than she was getting. Like, I thought maybe she would pass out because there's just so much blood. But are you saying, like, oh, it's not that big a deal. You can have a gashing injury in your leg, stitch it up, put a tourniquet, and, like, that's not a big deal. Grow up.
Listen, Shannon's stabbed herself with her earrings constantly.
That's
it's
practice.
Easy.
I feel like I need to buy some of those earrings. They feel, like, very utilitarian. And, you know,
yes.
Great to have in a pinch. You know, you need sutures.
Yeah.
You never know.
Sure. Thank God she's a medical student. What
yes.
luck.
Exactly.
That comes
yeah.
in handy.
Yeah.
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 But is the tourniquet the right move? I mean, that's also what came to mind for me, but I don't know why. I feel like I've just seen it in movies and like war movies and stuff. But I mean, if you get bit by a shark and you're stranded, is that the first thing you should do?
I think so. seemed like a right idea, right?
Because that way you're bleeding, but like you're not losing so much blood. Is that what a tourniquet's for?
Yeah. It would cut the main blood flow off to the leg. And then, you know, she gave herself like a little minute of little circulation. But then she said something about gangrene setting. And I think that's a bacterial infection that happens like way after an injury, not hours.
Oh, great. But I was going to ask about that as well. Yeah, she's yeah, there's gangrene. I was like, how long does that take? Like, what's going on?
I think more than like a few hours. But No, a tourniquet was great. And it shows how teeny tiny she is, because I don't think I could fit my surfboard leash around my thigh. I mean,
no.
That's like, wow. Tiny.
Yeah, I think during the exposition part, she mentioned that she's 4'2". So we conveniently knew that, which is good. Okay, so wait, let's go back to this huge whale carcass, because I want to know, do sharks kill whales? Is that like what happened there? Does a shark attack a whale? And then wouldn't that be plenty of food? Also, it seems like that would feed a shark for a week or two.
Months, really. Okay. I mean, it takes a long time for them to eat the carcass. So sharks, I don't know of any sharks actually killing whales, but orcas will kill baby whales. They'll separate a mama and a baby whale, and then like especially gray whales, they'll eat the tongue of the baby.
Oh my god.
And then it's pretty messed up. It's really horrible to watch too. I've seen it one time where the orcas are trying to separate the mama and the baby, and then the mama fights them and does her best. Oh, it's heartbreaking. It's awful.
Wow. Crap.
Yeah. And that's actually how we got several of our carcasses, because then they ripped the whole lower jaw of the baby off, and of course it dies, right? And then washes on shore.
Oh,
but
Shannon, you're ruining kids' lives right now. Oh my god!
You know, I wasn't sure sharks were bad until this moment, and now I'm mad.
Well, but that's not a shark, right? Those are orcas.
Oh, that's true. Okay,
they're whales. They're other whales.
Okay, and sharks, and you're cool again.
Right, sharks are cool. But partly we're to blame because we have eaten all the big fish that the orcas want to eat, right?
Oh,
and so
no.
They're kind of changing what they eat, right? So, yeah, those seafood watch cards from the aquarium are super good because they help you decide to make good choices in what we eat, because we do love our seafood, but we have eaten a lot of everything out of the ocean that other things want to eat too. So,
right.
And, you know, we're doing a better job conserving whales and making sure their populations are okay so the orcas are hungry.
Oh my god. Okay, orcas 0/10, cute scale. That's so bad. I hate that. And I hate that it's like also our fault, which like of course it is. Like that's always how, especially when we do anything about the ocean, it's like somehow or another it's going to get traced back to humans and how we're to blame.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Anytime something bad is happening in the world, it's humans. It's our fault.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
did it.
True.
No animals would ever hurt each other, but since we're around, they're like, sorry, I gotta rip out your baby's tongue. It's the only way.
Yep. This is it.
That's what they...
Gotta feed my baby.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the sharks would feed on this whale for a month or two, you're saying, maybe more. And so if they have their food source, you know, kind of set, why would they be attacking humans around the area?
Well, didn't she determine that this shark had a she looked at the kids' GoPro video and there was like a some injury?
Yeah,
on the shark.
Like, he has a hook in his mouth.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's what got him stuck on the chain. So yeah, like she's like, oh, you're mad. I see. So, you know, he was, you know, maybe he couldn't eat whale because he had a hook in his mouth, and so he decided to kill people instead. But yeah, although there are like feeding frenzies, like there've been bait balls around Moss Landing and the whales come in and it's really neat. We've been actually out surfing during them and it's like, ooh, I'm gonna get out of the water, because you know, you don't want to be in the food.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to eat us, but you don't want to be in the food.
Okay, so there is like some validity to the whole feeding ground thing, where it's like if you're near what they are eating, you got a problem. They could get pissed off at you.
Well, not pissed off, but just mistaken, right? Like, okay. I think most shark bites are mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they think you're a fish.
Although, like, I think bull sharks and tiger sharks are more like, I'm going to bite you. I don't care.
I'm bored.
I'm bored. I want to see what you taste like. They're a little more aggressive.
Okay.
But white sharks aren't so much.
And would this... So this is a white shark in this movie?
I don't know. It kind of looked like a tiger. I don't know. He was giant.
Yeah, this was a huge Jaws shark.
Yeah.
That's the official term.
Yeah.
It's a Jaws shark, but yeah.
It's his species name. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't, I don't think at least they said it at any point either because she didn't know or, yeah, I was trying to keep an eye out for that, but I was like, I guess it's just a big shark.
I have a question about the, like, would a shark, because the shark just like had its eye on her and then did not leave her alone, like circled her the whole time. Would a shark be like, you know what, there's this huge whale that I could eat, but instead, 24 hours a day, I'm going to keep my eye on this tiny, bony girl.
Right? Like, I feel like her nutritional qualities would be low compared to the nice, big, fat, juicy whale, right?
Listen, I'm no, I don't eat humans, but if I would, I would not start with her.
No, she would be safe.
Yeah,
I don't see a shark ever picking a little tiny blonde girl over a giant juicy whale.
They don't hold any grudges.
Not that I know of. I haven't talked to any. We have a deal. I don't eat them. They don't eat me. You know,
that's fair. A good deal. she tries to eat at one point a raw crab. Speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
Eating each other. And then, of course, the director felt it necessary for us to watch her barf. Thank you for that. but yeah,
also,
I mean...
Also, she tries to eat it, like, with the claws and the shell and every... Like, I'm not a seafood expert, and I know there's, like, soft-shell crab that people eat, and that's not a thing I would try, but... Normally, you crack it open and get the meat out.
Right.
You don't just like, ooh, I'll eat these shards of shell. Delicious.
Seriously. And like crabs eat the most disgusting things, right? They're like the detritus feeders. You want to cook them before you eat them. They're delicious, but you want to cook them. And you don't eat like the guts. They're full of parasites and all kinds of crazy stuff. So
gross.
You just eat the meat, not the guts. So she should have given that to the little bird.
Oh my lord. Okay, so I mean, food wise, I guess she's just in trouble. There's nothing that she could have eaten, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I loved her little healthy snack in between surf sessions. That was good. Because the girl, like, literally went, like, days without drinking any water, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you can not eat for a long time. She's probably used to that because she's so tiny, right? But it's like, oh, I got this. Fasting, no problem.
Wow. Okay. And yeah, I couldn't. I was trying. I thought maybe I just chalked it up to me being stupid, but I couldn't really tell sometimes when the tide was low or high. Like, I thought there'd be some big difference, but
yeah, it looked kind of the same,
right,
on her rock. I was like,
yeah, it must be a place. Where they were supposed to be in Mexico, right? It must be a place where the tide changes only once a day, very slowly.
Got it.
They have small tide cycles, but
because they kind of made a big deal of it, like they kind of talked about it several times, and then we even got that weird graphic of her watch, and then like a label that came up saying like low tide or like 30 minutes to high tide, and I'm like, oh, okay, something's gonna happen here with this tide.
You know, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic, except for her rock went away.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's pretty strange. Okay, I have to ask about the dolphins. I love dolphins, and I've had people on the program tell me before that just because dolphins look like they're in a good mood, that they're not. That's just how they look. And like, you know, because people like to like go swimming with dolphins. Like they like to, you know, if they're on vacation, they're like, oh, let's do this tour where we... you know, go out where there's dolphins and swim with them and pet them. And I've just been told, like, don't do that. They don't like that. Stop treating them like that. So, yeah, I wanted to know where you fall on dolphins and if they would actually, like, swim with somebody like they do in the movie and if you should follow them the way that she does.
Definitely don't follow the dolphins. Leave them alone.
Okay, that's what I thought. Good.
They're wild animals, right? They're wild animals. And yeah, I'm sure they don't want people petting them.
Yeah, they're not dogs.
Like, Right, exactly. The dog wants you to pet it. The cat, maybe. Probably not, but not the dolphin. Definitely not the dolphin. But I do, it's funny because I used to have that misconception that, you know, if the dolphins were out there, you were pretty good with that, with the sharks. But I think that's wrong.
The last time I went surfing, actually, it was like a crowded beach. There was a bunch of people out there, but there were some dolphins. Like, I saw a fin, and it was like, oh, no, I'm going to die. I swam in as fast as I could and looked back, and it was like, oh, there's dolphins. And there were other surfers out there, like, getting close to the dolphins. But I was like, I'll never surf again. I don't need to. I don't need to, like, yeah.
Right? No, it's not a good feeling. When you see that fin, you're like, what is it? Oh, God, it's a dolphin.
Yeah. And I don't want to get close enough or wait around to figure out what it is.
Right. No, that's a good note, I think. And again, dolphins are wild animals, and they eat fish. And yeah, they're like big. Mm-hmm. They're fast and big.
So they could mistake you also. You can get bit by a dolphin, is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. And you never know. Killer dolphins, right? We've demonized sharks. Let's do it to dolphins.
Yeah, let's slowly demonize all of
these animals. Speaking here as an invertebrate. Yeah, right? I'm speaking here as an invertebrate biologist.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so that's good to know. I mean, there's so much here. When we get back from the break, I'm going to ask about jellyfish and why they light up and sting you.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
Okay, we're back. From what I understand, you also love jellyfish, Shannon, and have worked with them or collected them. Is that correct?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on tenophores, which are a kind of jelly, but they don't have any stingers. But yeah, the lab I work in studies the evolution of bioluminescence, especially in jellies.
Cool.
So lots of jellies are bioluminescent. They're really cool. Also a demonized animal, but
right.
The nightlight characteristics of the jellies in this movie were pretty incredible. I was like, wow, I've never seen that species before.
Oh, man. That was my question. I was going to ask what kind of jellyfish it was, but I guess it's just a made-up computer jellyfish.
You know what?
Ethan, it might have been.
It seems made up. Maybe you want to name it.
Oh, can I name this species after me?
I'm going to say yes.
Sure. Great. Okay.
You just can't be on the paper. You just have to get somebody else to name it about you, and not, then you just have to bow out of your authorship. So you can do it.
Okay. I mean, it seems like you are down. I mean, Sarah's definitely down, feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's sweet. So yeah, I'm not going to do it. I don't care about that stuff. But, you know, if you guys want to do it, that's cool. I will accept. So this did it remind you of a certain jellyfish, or, you know, because I was a little bit confused as far as she gets stung, but she also doesn't really care that she's stung. Like, she seems fine with that part. Like, that injury in particular is like no big deal.
Right, but they really bothered the shark, whose skin is much thicker than hers. So that was interesting. Like, and I liked how she was able to carefully navigate throughout their tentacles.
She was also underwater for minutes, just casually navigating these jellyfish in this super clear water that she can see perfectly.
Yeah,
through
and it got deep.
Yeah,
like that rock, right? Like, the waves were breaking there, but all of a sudden it was like 40 feet deep.
Yeah, she was in deep water, and there was like 100 jellyfish all of a sudden all around her, and she was like totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. That felt a little harder to grasp, okay. To believe.
So, I mean, what's the, you know, an average jellyfish sting? What kind of injury are we looking at?
It hurts. So we were just out offshore, and actually I got stung by these little things called siphonophores. They're related, and they have pretty good stingers. And the species that I got stung by only sting your lips, because that's the thinnest skin. And also it's like completely covered with wetsuit and hood and gloves and everything. But so my lips got stung, and felt like a really, really bad sunburn. But it kept hurting for a while. So, but other jellies, I mean, obviously they sting much, much worse than that. Through your skin, no problem. Ugh. And it keeps burning and burning and burning and hurt.
Damn.
So, yeah, but not all of them do it.
Okay. Not all of them do.
Is there any, so if you get stung on your leg or something, and people always say, like, you got to pee on it. Is that true? Or is that just a weird thing that people have decided is a hilarious joke?
I think that somebody was messing with somebody when they made that up. And now the rumor is proliferated. Yeah, peeing on it doesn't work. Vinegar is pretty good. Or boiling hot water.
Boiling hot water.
But you gotta
pour that on your leg.
Well, yeah, right. So I've stepped on a stingray before, and it was like such a relief to put my foot in like this boiling pot. Like I would burn my leg on the pot.
Wow.
But it was like, oh, the water feels amazing. Right, it was hot. So yeah, it's much better than the sting.
Huh.
But yeah, and then there's a professor at UH who developed like a kill sting kit.
Oh.
That you can get, and I think they sell it in all the ABC stores in Hawaii, that really works. But yeah, I don't pee on your friends.
Yeah, freaks.
Okay.
Stop peeing on each other. Stop finding excuses.
Right.
God damn it.
There are so many better pranks.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, well, this we're running short on time. I could talk to both of you all day. I'm having a ball. But the one I have to ask about this, and I know it's going to sound idiotic, but I have to ask about it anyways. Towards the end of this movie, spoiler alert, the climax, she is swimming away from the shark, which, by the way, I was already dumbfounded by. I feel like sharks are so much faster than us.
Yes.
But, okay. Yeah. Whatever, she's somehow escaping the shark underwater
with her injured leg.
Yeah, she's not even at full capacity. She has one leg that's completely useless.
I think she's in, the correct term is an Aquaman. I think she's an Aquaman. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so the Aqua Woman is escaping the shark's grasp, and she tricks it, I guess, into, like, they're both swimming full speed, and she, like, moves out of the way at the last second, which is also just skeptical, like, how fast you can move underwater. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, well, she's holding on to, like, a chain that is sinking. So, like, that's what's pulling her down so fast.
Oh, okay,
but,
okay.
That's how she got to, because I was watching the same, I had to rewind it, being like, what happened? What am I? Why would you do this?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, her, like, very easily, like, letting go of the chain and swimming out of the way, like, she's doing it as if she's not underwater and, yes, very injured.
Right.
Yeah, as if she's, like, swinging from ropes or something. Like, she's got serious speed, and she dodges out of the way, and the shark is tricked into swimming mouth open, full speed, into a bunch of poles, and they just absolutely tear this shark apart. So he's killed, or she's killed, and I have to ask your take on that, Shannon.
I mean... saved by a mooring. And so as somebody, I work on moorings, and I actually had to like send this movie to some of my friends who used to have to service the moorings in the Monterey Bay because they call them buoy boys. And, you know, unfortunately she wasn't on one of our moorings because there's all kinds of sensors, like, and we talk to our moorings constantly. Ah. So she could like Morse code back to us, like, please come get me.
Oh,
but she was on Secret Beach. Why they even had a mooring on the secret beach, that was kind of interesting too. In 40 feet of water /4 feet of water. But yeah, the whole thing where she like detached the mooring chain and then like swam to the bottom. And, like it's just, the shark, I'm pretty sure, would be more maneuverable in the water than she would. And also know the bottom was coming.
Yeah.
Right.
He like went for it.
Full force.
He sent it.
Just like... went so hard and just stabbed his whole head on these poles. It was crazy.
Yeah, that part was crazy. And I'm glad to hear you say, like, you sound as disturbed by it as I was, which is nice. Just because, I just felt there were so many, like, the fact that the shark would be tricked into it, the fact that the shark doesn't know where the floor is, and that he didn't catch the girl, like, it seems like he'd be able to just, like, no problem eat her up if he was trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And then I have to ask about this seagull. You know, medical student or not, should we be trying to fix a seagull's wing like that? I thought for a second, I got to be honest with you, that she broke the wing. I thought she made the seagull worse for a second. Didn't it seem like that?
Right. Yeah. The seagull friend thing was, I mean, you got to have a friend when you're stuck on a rock and then save it. It was very like Cinderella-ish with like, you know, yeah. All the animals are her friends, except for that crab that she puked up. But, but yeah, no, the fixing of the seagull and the acknowledging that the shark was hurt and that's why he was mad, but she killed him anyways. But
yeah, in heroic fashion.
In very heroic fashion. Yeah. Oh, the poor seagull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the poor seagull got totally fixed up, and so that's great. But I assume we shouldn't do that. I mean, maybe if you're a vet, I no. guess.
I thought. No. I don't know what sort of movies I watched that I was thinking this, but I was like, she's gonna eat that seagull. She's gonna have to eat her friend.
I thought that too.
Yeah. I'm
glad she didn't. But I was like, anytime now.
I was afraid of that because the seagull was also injured. So yeah, my head also went to like, oh, maybe she's going to just like, you know, do what's quote unquote best for the seagull here and, you know, eat it.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who had that thought.
Yeah. Well, that's why we got Sarah here. Just makes you feel more comfortable with your darkest thoughts.
Because I've thought every single one of them. confess them all. You're not alone. I'm a creep.
Okay, well, listen, I thank you both for watching this extremely accurate film and for joining me on the program. Sarah, what's going on with you? Obviously, you have the Everything Is Rent podcast, which yeah. I believe you co-host with our mutual friend Beth. Is that correct?
Yeah. Who is also superhero strength,
oh my
goes
God.
To our gym.
Crazy, crazy ripped up.
Just so ripped. Almost as ripped as us, which we're, as we've established, yeah. incredibly ripped.
It's just impossibly ripped, yeah.
But yeah, check out Everything Is Rent. It's a podcast just about the musical Rent. It's very stupid and fun. yeah, I'm also doing currently online, soon to be live, also previously live shows with the comedy group Asian AF online. We do, it's all Asian American comedians doing improv and sketch and stand up, and it's a treat.
Yeah, that's a great show for sure. When do you know when the live shows will come back?
Oh, who knows?
Awesome.
Hopefully in the next couple months we're talking about it, but yeah, I think we're trying to figure out what's next for the whole world. Shannon, any thoughts? You're a scientist. What's next?
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Oh man, I just want everybody to get vaccinated. Everybody.
Yes.
So that would be the best case scenario. But yeah, God, I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But I have a feeling it's not.
It seems like, at least in certain places, it's certainly not. It could get worse. And because exactly what you said, people refuse to get vaccinated for God knows what reason. You, along with every other scientist I've had on the program, reiterates the same thing, which is get vaccinated immediately if you are not.
Yeah.
Right.
There's so many opportunities to do so. Do it, everybody.
It's so easy.
It's fun.
Yay.
You get a cool story.
It's super fun.
You feel great. You're saving people.
Yeah.
Be a hero like me and Ethan. So strong in body and a spirit.
Yeah. You know, I was lazy and overweight, and then I got the vaccine. And
yeah. And look at us now.
I mean, we literally have our own gym program where we flip cars. It's pretty sick.
I'm signing up.
Shannon, is there something you want to tell people about? I mean, obviously they can now go back to the aquarium and eat the appropriate seafood, but the floor is yours. You want to tell people about something?
I've been working from home and writing papers and maybe doing a little bit of surfing on the side. So, but yeah, the aquarium's open, and actually they have a Seafood Watch app, so you don't even have to go there to get the Seafood Watch. So you can be like sitting in a restaurant and ask your waitress, like this happened to me when I was in grad school. This lady was like, "Can I eat the swordfish?" And I was like, "Sure." She's like, "Actually," I was like, "Oh, No, don't eat that. I mean, no.
Wow. Okay, so that's great. Everybody download the Seafood Watch app right now. Just go on your phone and do it, because it allows you to eat the appropriate seafood instead of stuff that's, you know, going to hurt our oceans and our ocean life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Thank you for that. And yeah, thank you both for speaking to me today. And I'm sure I'll speak to you soon when we watch The Shallows 2, a little less shallow. And yeah, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The Good, the Bad, and the Science is a Seeker podcast produced by Emily Feld and me, Ethan Edinburgh. The executive producer is Brett Kushner, and our social media is managed by Blue Whale Media. Oh, follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Pod. If there's a movie you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. And please leave us an iTunes review. Give us 5 stars. I sound like an Uber driver, but it does help. It makes sure people know about the podcast, which we really appreciate. Thanks for listening. Bye.